Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of The End Zone. I'm your host, Bo Marchand, here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We're powered by All Access Football. Remember, you want to go to the NFL Draft Bible to catch your latest football news, and that's all topics all day long. We got a great show, and we're going to hit it very early today. We got our college football insider, Justin Van Fulpen. He's going to be coming on. He's going to be giving us the mock draft early look, and we're going to have Kenny Franick, our fantasy guy, coming on around 5:30 at the end of the show. We're looking to bring on Cody Slate, Marshall tight end, and right now we're joined by Justin. Justin, how you doing?
Good. How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm great, man. What's going on, man? Anything?
Just same old, same old. Just trying to see what's going on in the football world.
Excellent. And Justin, if guys want to log in and find your stuff, where do they go to do it?
They can go to NFL Draft Bible or NFL Next at blogsport.com.
Okay. As I said, I've been, you know, reading the stuff, but I wasn't sure exactly where to tell everybody to go, you know, to read your stuff. So, man, we're into this college season. I mean, it's obviously mock time. Very busy. You have that mock draft up there. Last week we did the top six worst teams. We did St. Louis, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, KC, Cleveland, Detroit. I think, did we do Oakland too?
No, we didn't get into Oakland.
We didn't get into Oakland. You know what, and looking at your mock draft, though, I know we discussed it too, Eric Berry and Taylor Mays. Can you recall a time when two safeties would, with the ability to go that high in the same draft?
No, really there's just usually one guy that, you know, shows that ability to be, you know, that top-notch, top-five type pick. But with Eric Berry and Taylor Mays, those two guys are phenomenal athletes and really bring similar styles but very different. Mays is a more physical guy, a guy who's going to, you know, play the run and really be that dominant, more of a strong safety at that next level, but, you know, can have some coverage ability. Eric Berry is a free safety, a guy who could play, you know, some slot receivers, you know, play a lot of different positions in that secondary. He's very valuable. A guy, like we had mentioned last week, in that Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu type mold.
And, I mean, to get into the mock draft now, we're going to start at number 7, and we're looking at the Oakland Raiders, who are 2-5. What do you have them doing? What's the magic ball telling you when you're looking at next season for the Raiders?
Well, you know, when we're talking about the 7th pick and, you know, basically looking at offensive tackle Russell Okung from Oklahoma State, I mean, basically, you know, the Raiders need some offensive line help. I mean, they need help everywhere. They did trade the 2011 first-round draft pick for Richard Seymour. So, you know, to go ahead and get a left tackle, a guy who could play there the next 10 years, and, you know, they spent a lot of money on offense with Jamarcus Russell, you know, Darius Haywood-Bey, Darren McFadden. So they've got to get some protection. Jamarcus Russell hasn't played well this season, has been kind of a bust, but that's their best option. I don't see them going in and drafting another quarterback that just so soon. I think they want to get some help on that offensive line, see if they can run the football, protect Jamarcus Russell and let him get the football downfield to his two young receivers that he has there.
So, Justin, I know what you're doing, and when you do this mock draft, I know you're thinking of the best possible selection for each team. Obviously, the Oakland Raiders won't do the same thing that you're doing. They're going to look at the worst possible pick. So, kind of catching off guard here, who do you really think the Oakland Raiders are going to take? Not who they should take, but when it's all said and done, what's the farthest, most off-the-wall guy that you can think of right now the Oakland Raiders are going to take?
Well, you know, they take whoever's got the fastest 40. I mean, that's what it seems like that they do. Whoever's the best, you know, physical specimen, which, you know, if you look at it, maybe they go with Dez Bryant, a receiver out of Oklahoma State, or maybe Carlos Dunlap from Florida, defensive end. You know, I mean, this is the guy who's kind of a freak athlete. Rondo McClain, you know, another freak athlete who they could draft there. They look for those big-time athletes, and that's what, you know, their owner Al Davis wants, and obviously he's the owner, so he gets what he wants. So, I mean, they took Darius Haywood Bey, which, you know, when Michael Crabtree was on the board, and obviously we saw in 1 week of Michael Crabtree, he's got more catches than what Darius Haywood Bey has in six games.
We're speaking with Justin Van Fulpen, our college football insider here on the Fantasy Sports General, the End Zone. The Washington Redskins, in your mock here, you have them taking a player like Sam Bradford, and I know we discuss it almost every time we talk. You still think he's coming back?
You know, I mean, basically what it comes down to now is his, you know, health after that surgery. You know, if he is, you know, looks like he can go, I think, you know, he'll go ahead and leave Oklahoma early. If it's something where it's going to be a longer rehab process, and probably come back. I don't see him signing with an agent till late in the process, just so he has that flexibility to return to Oklahoma if he so chooses. So right now, I think, you know, the signs are pointing to, hey, for him to leave. Obviously, that changed over the last couple of weeks when a lot of us had thought that he was coming back to Oklahoma. He, you know, changed his mind, which surprised us. Just like last year, we all thought he was coming out, and he decided to, you know, stay in. So the Redskins need a quarterback. I mean, last night was a prime example of, you know, just they need to just go in a whole different direction with that franchise, and starting with Sam Bradford, and their owner is a risky guy. I mean, he spent $100 million on Albert Haynesworth, so he'd be a guy who would take the risk on Sam Bradford, and, you know, with his shoulder injury, I mean, he takes a lot of risk, and Sam Bradford right now is a risk at the eighth overall pick.
Now, I mean, you said now a guy like Bradford might wait to find out, you know, how he feels and what his, you know, future would hold. How does that work for him? I mean, if he's going to call out to an agent, I mean, I know there's a lot of fine lines in between what you can do. I mean, if I'm Sam Bradford, just say when I call the agent, I mean, what's the process like there, Justin? Explain to the people, because I'm curious myself. I mean, when does it cross the line where you're not allowed to talk to him to where you're allowed to talk to him?
Well, I mean, an agent can talk to a player, you know, at any time, you know, whether it's a high school kid, a freshman, a sophomore. Basically, all they can't do is give them any gifts, buy them a Coke, you know, anything as far as to that level, any extra benefits. But when it comes to, you know, signing with a guy, basically a lot of guys wait, and, you know, they'll wait until their bowl game is. You'll see a lot of signings with, you know, agents right after, you know, that January 1st bowl game or the national title hope, or even when say a team doesn't make it, isn't bowl eligible, they'll sign with a guy right, you know, maybe right around Thanksgiving, and get into a process of going and training down at a speed camp, API, you know, some of those big training facilities, and getting ready, getting their nutrition, getting ready for the combine, for all-star games, for the grueling process that is the, you know, kind of the scouting process to get ready for, you know, draft day and seeing where they're going to be going. But Sam Bradford, he doesn't have to. He's not into it. He's not in a financial situation where, you know, he could go ahead and doesn't have to worry about that. You know, as far as his family's, you know, okay financially, he's not going to be any rush to be going and working on his 40 because he's got to just get back healthy with his shoulder. So basically, he can sit there and rehab Oklahoma and not, you know, have an agent. You know, he's going to be a top 10 pick, you know, if he comes out and shows that he's healthy. So he's a guy in a very unique situation that he can kind of wait. And so, you know, and kind of hold on to his eligibility as long as possible to make that, you know, possible return, you know, to Oklahoma. Obviously, he'll have to declare for the NFL draft, and he can't go back once he puts those paperwork in. But up until then, he still can change his mind if he doesn't sign with an agent.
Excellent. And number 9 on the mock draft here, the Seattle Seahawks, 2-4. You having them take another quarterback, Jimmy Clausen, for Notre Dame. What makes you think quarterback here, and what does Jimmy Clausen bring in terms of the other, you know, quality quarterbacks of this draft class? I mean, your thoughts on Clausen, right?
They thought about taking, as far as Mark Sanchez this past year, just because the health of Matt Hasselbeck, and we haven't seen that changed over, this season. He's been injury prone, missed a few games, been good, and then last week was, last game they played was bad. So, I mean, he's been up and down, inconsistent. And I think if the season plays out and they do pick in the top 10, I think Jim Moore will say, hey, let me go ahead and get a quarterback, a guy who I can be married up to, and a guy that I can say, okay, hey, we can build this franchise on, a player like Jimmy Clausen, because Hasselbeck maybe has one, two seasons left, and then you can put the reins over to Jimmy Clausen. And Clausen's really improved his stock as a guy who's really moved up the draft board and, being a top 10 type pick because of his ability at Notre Dame. I mean, this season he's shown the ability to bring teams back late in the fourth quarter or overtime, make all the throws, be a cerebral leader. And now the biggest question mark, will he come out early? I think right now he's leaning to coming out early, but they have a lot of talent there at Notre Dame that are all underclassmen. And if they they don't lose another game and go to a big BCS bowl game, maybe Charlie Weiss recruits him again and says, hey, come back for one more season. We've got Kyle Rudolph. We've got Malcolm Floyd. We got Golden Tate. We've got a pretty good offense. Armando Allen, pretty good offense coming back. And we lost to Michigan and USC, close games. And, hey, if we win those two games, next year we're in the national title game. And maybe Jimmy Clausen does decide to come back to Notre Dame. I mean, obviously, we're about a couple months till those guys have to make those decisions. But right now, I think Clausen is leaning to declare early.
Excellent. And number 10, the Miami Dolphins. You have Jez Bryan, Oklahoma State receiver. Obviously, we saw the trouble Ted Ginn had holding on to the ball yesterday. Jez Bryan, nice size, a good fit. You think this is the direction Miami goes next season?
I think that's their need. I mean, Brian Hartline is probably their best receiver. He's a rookie this year and in a later draft pick, not a high, first-round guy, and he's the most consistent guy they have. I mean, they've got a Devon Best, Ted Ginn Jr., which is he's kind of a second-tier, number two type guy. And I think, if they got a Dez Bryant, a caliber receiver like that, a true number one receiver, Ted Ginn Jr. really fits that mold of a number two guy, a guy who could be in the slot, run reverses, be the kickoff returner. He's just not a number one receiver, and I think that's what Miami needs, especially, with the young team that they are going to have. Obviously, Chad Pennington's a free agent. Does he come back? Chad Hutchinson, he's a guy who, Chad Henne, I'm sorry, he's a guy who, could be that answer at quarterback, and they could go at a quarterback position. I think they like Henne. I think they want to build around Henne, and wide receiver is definitely the quarterback's best friend, and Dez Bryant's a guy who can make spectacular catches, and he's got very good hands, something that Ted Ginn does not.
Excellent. We're speaking with Justin Van Poolpen, our college football insider here in the end zone on the Fantasy Sports Channel, powered by All Access Football. Justin, I mean, looking at this mock draft, I mean, it's always fun, I love, looking at this stuff and, looking ahead. I just find it, because it's, I think it's becoming, identity of its own. You love it. I know when we talk during the offseason, the draft is probably one of our favorite days, if not our favorite day of the whole football season. San Francisco, they get the number one from the Carolina Panthers. What direction do you think the 49ers go looking, at the early mock?
I mean, they have a lot of different directions, but I think Trent Williams, the tack from Oklahoma, probably makes the best sense. And, obviously, I don't think, San Francisco thought they'd be picking this high from the Carolina Panthers. They've struggled a lot this season. I think, Trent Williams played the right tackle position, get him in there as far as run block for, Frank Gore, as far as pass block for Alex Smith, looks like he's kind of living up to his bill, at least last week against last week in his game against the Houston Texans. We'll see this week against the Indianapolis Colts, but helped on the offensive line, definitely. I mean, obviously, they've got a later pick their own later in the mock, and they could always go defense in this pick, too, as well.
Excellent. And, Justin, we're getting some chatter from the chat room. And somebody wants to know why Martin Mayhew still has a job after a horrible 2009 draft. Do you have any opinion on that?
I don't think we can say it's a horrible draft right now. I mean, we obviously got Matthew Stafford, the number one pick.
Yeah.
He's looking like he's probably better than Mark Sanchez and a franchise quarterback. You've got Brandon Pettigrew, who we knew was going to take some time, as far as at that tight end position. And you've got Louis Delmas, who's a starter who won the NFL Rookie of the Month on the defensive side. So I think Mayhew did well in the 2009 draft. They've got to have another good draft. And obviously, with the 6th overall pick, I mean, I think they'll take Carlos Dunlap if McCoy or Sue aren't there, those defensive tackles aren't there. They need some help on the defensive side of the ball, and I think they'll address that in this year's draft.
Yeah, a guy like Louis Delmas, I really think he's playing really well for them. I was kind of surprised by it, to be honest with you, that he's playing that well. Number 12, we have the Buffalo Bills on the clock here, Jake. Mock draft. You have them going defensively here with the Rolando McClain from Alabama. Tell us what type of player he is, and tell us what he can do for the Buffalo Bills if they would select a guy like that.
He's a guy who's probably the best defensive player left on the board, and could turn out to be the best defensive player in this draft. Just a guy who can play, go sideline to sideline, a big, physical, specimen. I mean, he's a guy who really, I think when you talk about the AFC East defense and, playing in cold weather, he would fit up there in Buffalo. Obviously, they could take a quarterback here, if one of those guys fall, because I don't think they think, Trent Edwards is the answer there. But with the big three guys are already taken, you're not going to take a Tony Pike here, so at 12. So I think McClain really fits the Bills. They want to build around that defense, and McClain's the best defensive player on the board left.
And, Nick Saban's, some could argue that, Alabama got the best defense in the nation. And obviously he's going to be producing more of these guys. Anybody else on the Alabama defense that we should be taking note of?
No, the next picks with the Denver Broncos, I've got the nose tackle Terrence Cody. I mean, he's a huge guy. They call him Mount Cody. Big, we saw him block two, field goals this past week against Tennessee, won the game for Alabama, kept their national title hopes alive. Really, I think it's really hard to find those nose tackles. They might be a little high on 13 with Denver, having the Bears pick, and maybe that's not where how high it ends up, later down the road. We'll have to see. But with his ability to play that nose tackle and that 3-4 defense, what they run, he would be a perfect fit. And we see a lot of these teams switching to that 3-4 defense. And Terrence Cody is a man among boys, and I think he'll be a top, he'll be a first-round pick. I don't know if he'll go as high as 13, but as far as right now, it's kind of, I think, where he fits if everything plays out right now. I think he's probably more in the 20s as far as talent-wise, but Denver, hey, they've got two picks in this first round, so why not take a Terrence Cody as far as and get that defensive, that nose tackle for the next, 10 years.
Excellent. Once again, we're speaking with Justin Van Poulter, College Football Insider, here on the Fantasy Sports Channel, The End Zone, powered by All Access Football. Justin, we're sitting on pick 14 here. The Niners are up again, and they're having them go outside linebacker. Ricky Stapp from Clemson. Obviously that adds some more versatility to that linebacking core they have. Tell us about Ricky Stapp.
Well, Ricky Stapp, he plays defensive end, plays more of a guy as a stand-up type guy there with Clemson's defense, and what he brings is a pass rusher, and that's what the 49ers are looking for is a 3-4 outside linebacker who can rush the passer, and that's what Ricky Stapp is. And he's a freak athlete. He's going to be a guy who's going to test well at the combine. A lot of people will look at his production and say, hey, maybe it's not up there to the level of being the 14th overall pick, but the 49ers, they've got Patrick Willis. They've got some other, pieces. They need a guy who can get out there and get after the quarterback on a consistent basis. And that's what, if Ricky Stapp is only asked to do that, which that's what they'll ask him in that 49ers defense, he can do that. And that's why the 49ers would look at him hard at the 14th overall pick.
Excellent. And breaking down number pick 15, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 3-3. You have them going on the defensive side of the ball, taking Joe Hayden from Florida. Tell us about him and what kind of corner is he?
Well, he's a guy who started as a freshman, there at Florida. I mean, obviously, we know about Florida's success over the last number of years, and he's been a guy who can play man-to-man, who's a great athlete. With Jacksonville, they need some help in that secondary, and as far as Hayden makes perfect sense. He's best cover corner and on the board, and the best as far as overall athlete and left on the board, too, I think, and a guy who could really improve the Jacksonville Jaguars secondary.
Excellent. And, Justin, I mean, looking at some of these guys, last weekend I was at the Pitt-South Florida game, and one of the guys I took notice of was Jonathan Baldwin, the receiver from Pitt. He's like 6'5", 225. He had a great game. Does he have the talent? I mean, is he that, you know, gifted to make it to the next level?
No, I mean, I think so, yeah. I mean, the question is, hey, you know, what type of receiver is he going to be, you know? Is he going to be a guy who, you know, is more of a third, fourth type receiver, you know, or can he kind of get up to the level of being a number two, you know, type receiver at the next level? And with receivers, you know, you never know what's going to happen with those guys. I mean, you see a guy like, you know, Johnny Knox from the Bears, who was in Albert Christian, his Division II guy. I mean, he's the Bears' number three guy right now and a rookie and playing well. You've got, you know, Pierre Garçon there at Indianapolis, a guy from Mount Union, a Division III, you know, player. So, I mean, guys from those lower-level divisions, receivers, I think, is a tough, you know, position to really evaluate, because it's so much different in college than the NFL with the coverages that guys play, that you can have a guy from a Division III school, Mount Union, who they don't even give athletic scholarships, come out and be a number three in the Indianapolis Colts offense, which is one of the most prolific offenses, and make plays week in and week out. And the Indianapolis Colts, they lost Anthony Gonzalez, they've lost Marvin Harrison, and Peyton, you know, obviously, yeah, they have Peyton Manning, but the receivers there, Austin Collie with a rookie from BYU, Pierre Garçon, you know, those guys just keep on making plays for Peyton Manning, and they haven't missed a beat. And with that, everybody rolling double coverages to Reggie Wayne, those two guys have had to make plays, and, you know, those, obviously, Pierre Garçon doesn't come from a big program, not a Michigan, not a, you know, Notre Dame, USC. He comes from a Division III school that, you know, is very rare in the NFL.
I mean, you know, talking about a guy like Peyton Manning, too, do you think he just oozes that respect that other guys are just going to bust their tail because they know better than to let this guy down? I mean, it's, you know, when I watched the Colts in particular, you know, with Manning, you know, it's ironic that, you know, they don't really give up a lot of sacks because, you know, you can almost see the rage of Manning, you know, through the television set if you're watching the Colts play, that, you know, you better not let anybody get to this guy. And on the other hand, you better catch the ball. I mean, I don't think, you know, last night watching, you know, Jason Campbell, I mean, obviously you don't get the same feel that, you know, if he gets sacked, he's not going to have some tirade or anything like that. You kind of get the same feel?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is I think when you play with the best, you don't want to let those guys down, and I think that's what the respect level comes, because you don't want to disappoint Peyton Manning, and you know, whether it's him, you know, going off on you, I just think, you know, it's like playing with Brett Favre. You know, you watch this guy for years, you know he's the best in the business, and Peyton Manning's to that same level, is that guys want to go out there and they'll, you know, run extra routes, do extra things to be able to make those plays when they have to that Peyton Manning asks for.
Excellent. And, you know, Justin, not to get off base from what we're talking about, I mean, it's still football, but did you happen to see the 30 on 30 ESPN show with the small potatoes about the USFL?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch that.
You know, I watched it last night. They were running it. I tell you what, man, it's definitely worth watching. I mean, some of the stuff that, you know, players and, you know, such kind of forget that they were there and, you know, things of that nature. But I tell you what, it was a great show. Like I said, I mean, I know you love football, and, you know, it's something definitely, I'm just telling you right now, man, you want to check it out. And like I said, I couldn't
believe do that.
Yeah, like I said, I couldn't believe, you know, how much they painted the picture of how kind of Donald Trump was kind of like the beacon of, you know, bringing down the USFL. I mean, that's the kind of the way they painted it. And, you know, they had Charlie Steiner, and they had, you know, several other guys. I mean, from Jim Kelly and all, basically, you know, everyone basically shared the same, you know, opinion that, you know, he was kind of like the driving force, you know, to bring it down, because he wanted to switch it to a fall schedule instead of a spring schedule. But I'm telling you, like I said, if you get a chance, man, it's definitely worth watching. And like I said, if you do watch it, let me know, because I'd love to, you know, I just like to shoot the breeze here and let everybody hear, you know, your thoughts on it yourself.
Definitely have to try to see when that's on again.
Yeah, like I said, you know, it's just great. I mean, seeing those old uniforms and seeing Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie for the New Jersey Generals, and you know, just it was funky, man. Really, really crazy. And, you know, just that whole atmosphere. You know, and they're showing all that crazy, you know, USFL stuff and all the wild things, you know, that they did. You know, halftime shows. They had people shooting live real guns and such. And, you know, think about going to an NFL game today and having them, you know, shooting off, you know, guns as a halftime show entertainment, you know.
It would surely be entertaining, that's for sure.
Excellent. So, I mean, right now, Justin, I mean, are we looking at the, you're going to break down any more mock draft for next week? What's on the docket? You're the one busting tail all the time.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is we've done the first 15. We'll kind of, you know, obviously we'll, you know, have a new rankings. Obviously, if we, depending on win loss ratio, there we'll go maybe go a full first round, go all 32, and we kind of can look and see what things are going out here as we're, you know, almost eight weeks into the NFL season. So kind of see where things are going to kind of play out here up until April's NFL draft.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Justin Van Fulpen, our college football insider here in the End Zone on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Justin, I mean, looking at the college season right now, I mean, we're pretty much into it. I mean, a lot of TCU talk. I saw Pitt this weekend. I mean, obviously, they have a heck of a schedule left with Cincinnati and West Virginia and Notre Dame coming up. When you think it all shakes down, I mean, do you think a team like USC is going to sneak their way back into it? And they got the big game with Oregon. Any thoughts on that game this weekend?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is USC is always going to be in there. I mean, the media, the pollsters, everybody loves USC, and they're a great team. I mean, no taking against, you know, anything away from them. But let's see, they did lose to Washington, and I think, you know, if you're a big time, you know, if you're a Iowa or a Cincinnati, and you go undefeated, you should get a shot in national championship over USC. So if Texas loses, or you know, if Florida or Alabama both lose, and it's, you know, Cincinnati and Iowa who are undefeated, those two teams should go play for the national title over a one-loss Texas and a one-loss USC. Even though no one's going to be excited over a Cincinnati-Iowa national championship game, to me, those two teams should play. I mean, and they're not a TCU. They're in the BCS Tech Conference.
Excellent. And, I mean, looking at these TCUs, I mean, if you have the Boise States, last year I think we had Utah. I mean, is it going to get to a point if these teams kind of go undefeated and they still don't get the respect and the shot that it's going to almost become meaningless what these schools do? I mean, eventually, are they going to have to break down and force feed one of these guys into the national championship game?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is like we talked in the past, is that, you know, none of these, nobody really wants to see those teams in the national championship game. And I don't think that's going to change, even with, you know, them going undefeated. So I think the thing is, hey, if they go undefeated, that's great. Let them play, you know. I think what we need to do is, so we're not going to have a playoff. We need to separate, okay, the teams that can play for the national title and put them in the rankings. And if you can't play for the national title, let's just kind of put them in a subdivision or D1 AA, even though there's no D1 AA. Let's revive that and have the TCUs, the Utahs in that, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing, is something's got to change, you know, as far as philosophically with, you know, college football and how are we going to – because if we were in college basketball and TCU went through, you know, the March Madness and made it the national championship game, they're going to play for it, you know. No one's going to say, hey, you're not in there. The likelihood of that happening, you know, is less likely. But we've seen Utah in the Final Four before, and they had every right to play for the national title in basketball. But that doesn't help happen in college football. And, you know, and so if the people don't want that, you know, we need to do something so that they don't have the opportunity to do that if they're not going to get a legitimate shot.
Excellent. I'm Justin Van Fulpen, our college football insider. Justin, as always, thanks for breaking the mark down for us, and thanks for joining the show. And next week, we'll look to touch base on first 15 and above.
Cool. We'll talk to you then, man.
All right. Thanks, buddy. That's Justin Van Fulpen, our college football insider, breaking down the mock draft for us. Like I said, a guy like Justin, he knows what he's talking about. He has a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge in this craft. And like I said, you guys, you know, when you get him on, he's somebody you want to shoot some questions off, because like I said, this guy knows it. I mean, sometimes he brings up stuff that I'm just like, man, how would this guy know that? Well, I know you guys love fantasy football, and it's fantasy time. We got our man from Minnesota, Kenny Franick, on. Kenny, what's going on, brother?
Not much. How are you?
I'm great, man. I just want to clear up something. I know that Dan was emailing you some Minnesota Steelers smack talk through the emails earlier today. I had nothing to do with that. He just needed some photos from the game, and somehow those photos being sent to him somehow made it to you. And obviously there was some chatter, you know, amongst, you know, that I'm a Steeler fan, and these are kind of trash-talking photos, I think, of the one of Steve Hutchinson with his head down. But just to clarify it, those were sent because they were doing some work on the NFL Draft Bible in regards to the game and the photos. So, but there was no trash-talking from my side, just to clarify that for you.
I appreciate it. It was a tough loss, so I really don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, it was a great game nonetheless, though. And like I said, we got Kenny Franick, our man from Minnesota, and we're gonna do some fantasy talk here, you guys in the chat room. I know you guys like fired away at Kenny with some fantasy questions. Kenny, we're 8 weeks into the NFL season. A guy that I actually want to get right off to a question with is Sidney Rice. I mean, he's really coming into his own within his third season. Any thoughts on Sidney? Looking, you know, I mean, is he becoming a legitimate every week starter?
He is. You gotta admire his size, and I think that alone is kind of what's making him Brett Favre's go-to guy. Bernard Berrian's always a speedster, but he just hasn't seen. I haven't seen the explosiveness out of him as I have in years past, and I mean, Sidney Rice has gotten a lot better at his route running, and that's kind of why he's been getting open a lot more, and also the fact that we do have Brett Favre now who can actually throw the football. So I think, you know, it's mainly, I think, his size that Brett really likes. He's always liked bigger receivers, so I think that's kind of what's making him go to him. And also, you know, Sidney's been showing that he can go up with the best of them and grab the ball out of the air. And Brett Favre, we know, isn't he still has accuracy, but I think he's lost that just a tad over the last couple of years. So I think he feels a little safer going to a bigger receiver like Sidney, who can actually go up and go get it. And I think he's, you know, not trying to throw interceptions like he has been in years past. So he's kind of liking what he's got there with Sidney Rice.
Excellent. And like I said, I was kind of surprised. I mean, I know there's some, you know, he's kind of been building, but I really didn't, you know, realize how good, you know, his season was. And, you know, I was at the Steelers game Sunday, you know, watching. I think he was targeted 14 times, you know, and he was just phenomenal. And, you know, like I said, I didn't realize what a great season he was having until I really started, you know, diving deeper into it. Kenny, some guys that I'm interested to, you know, touch base on is a guy like Matt Forte. I mean, is he a guy that if you have him on your team, you dump him? I mean, I don't think, you know, obviously you're not getting the kind of production from last season. I mean, he still has that name, so I think he's still a sexy pick to move. Would you hold on to a guy like this, or if this is a guy you can move, will you move him?
I would move him. You know, he's had a couple soft matchups, and he hasn't really capitalized on them. And this is Jay Cutler's offense now. They moved to more of a throwing team rather than being a smash-mouth football team. And you're seeing that it's working for them. So I don't see them going back to the run game as much as they used to. So, yeah, I'd get rid of them if you could get something for them.
Excellent. We're speaking with Kenny Franick here on the Fantasy Sports Channel in the End Zone, powered by All Access Football. Looking at a game like Houston and Buffalo this week, Kenny, I mean, Houston, you know, they score at will, it seemed. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he'll be at the helm again with Troy Edwards out. Does this make it a possibility to use Lee Evans again?
It is. I'm actually starting him in my in one of my leagues. I picked him up because a player of ours dropped him a couple weeks back, and I needed a fill-in, and he's actually scored back-to-back touchdowns for me, and he's gotten great production, especially in a PPR league. He's had 9 receptions and 143 yards and 2 scores the last 2 weeks, and that's all because of the change of quarterback. So, you know, you got to go with the hot hand. He's obviously not looking T.O.'s way much, so you got to go with the hot receiver, and that's going to be Lee Evans.
Excellent. And how about Cleveland and Chicago? I mean, Chicago, they obviously should get back on track after the beating they took by Cincinnati this past weekend. Looking at Greg Olsen, I mean, is this a guy, I mean, every week they talk about him kind of, you know, getting a 10-catch game or, you know, having these breakout games. I mean, he hasn't been bad. I mean, I think he, you know, gets maybe 4, 5, 6 receptions, maybe 40, 50 yards. He has scored a lot of touchdowns. But you have Johnny Knox, you have Devin Hester. I mean, any guys that you would recommend using in the Chicago game? Or just use everybody because it's Cleveland?
Yeah, I'd pretty much use anyone. If you're in a deeper league and are really looking for a reach, go with Earl Bennett. He's not getting that many looks a game. He gets, you know, 2 to 3 catches a game. But he does have the ability to break one loose for a touchdown. But I really like Johnny Knox. He's been targeted a lot, and same with Devin Hester.
Excellent. And look at Seattle at Dallas. I mean, Miles Austin seems to be, you know, caught fire the last couple weeks. I mean, is he a guy that you just ride the hot hand and keep in?
Oh, yeah, you keep him in. You don't take a guy out who scored 4 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's obviously Tony Romo's main guy. He's even looking to him a lot more than Witten. It's kind of taken away some of Witten's looks. Austin's just a good route runner. I mean, that's plain and simple. You can see him getting open on every play, and that's because he knows when to break in and out of his routes. And Tony Romo's the type of guy that can hit you in stride. So, I'd stay with Austin.
And Miles Austin. How about the Seattle side of it? I mean, anybody from the Seattle Seahawks kind of catch your eye for this weekend?
I do like T.J. Houshmandzadeh and Nate Burleson and Don Carlson. We all know the Dallas secondary is not what it's cracked up to be. And I think Matt Hasselbeck, if they do end up blitzing him a lot like you saw in that Atlanta game, their makeshift offensive line may give up quite a few sacks. But I do think especially T.J. Houshmandzadeh is going to run the shorter routes. So especially in a PPR league, you could see him get 10-plus catches this week, and Nate Burleson might break one out for a DB.
Excellent. And your beloved Minnesota Vikings, I mean, Brett Favre going back to Green Bay, I mean, he usually comes up big. Is this another game where he comes up big, or do you expect him to kind of, you know, struggle?
I expect him to come up big. He's going to be definitely motivated to go back to Green Bay and especially stick it to Ted Thompson. So I don't see how you don't start him if you have him, unless, you know, you have like a Peyton Manning or one of those top-tier quarterbacks. I would go ahead and start him anyway.
Excellent. And the Green Bay side of things, I mean, I think Ryan Grant's been playing fantastic. I mean, looking at his numbers each week, I mean, I think he's playing great. But Ryan Grant, I mean, Driver, Jennings, Rodgers, everybody full go?
Grant, not so much. We still the Vikings still, you know, boast one of the best run defenses in the league, and that's always the bread and butter, is stopping that first and then forcing them to throw. So I like, obviously, Donald Driver and Greg Jennings both in this matchup, and Aaron Rodgers will be okay. He's going to be under fire probably a lot during the game, but he was when he came to Minnesota, and he still got his numbers. So I like Aaron Rodgers, not so much Grant, and Donald Driver and Greg Jennings all in this game.
Excellent. We're speaking with Kenny Franek, our man in Minnesota, doing some fantasy chat here in the end zone. You have the San Francisco 49ers heading to Indianapolis. You got Alex Smith at the helm now. He had a hot hand with Vernon Davis this past weekend, connecting for 90-some yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, is Alex Smith a play if you're, you know, if you're searching for a quarterback this weekend?
You know, you can go with them and gamble, but I don't see it. Indianapolis has one of the better pass defenses in the league, and I think obviously they're going to try to force him to hand the ball off to Frank Gore more. they don't really focus on the run as much as a team, you know, say Minnesota or even, you know, like the Tennessee Titans do. So I think they're going to be looking to stop the pass first, especially when what they saw Vernon Davis do last week. I think they'll take away that tight end option. And they actually allow one of the fewest points to tight ends this year. You can take a gamble on Smith, but I don't see him putting up very many numbers. Maybe a touchdown, a couple interceptions, and that's about as good as you're going to get out of him.
Excellent. And how about the Colts side of the ball? I mean, you have the double back, though, to Donald Brown and Joseph Fadai. Looking at those two guys, I mean, what are your thoughts on that moving forward?
The way Donald Brown especially came off last week, getting 54 rushing yards on just two carries, he did injure that shoulder that has been a problem with him in college, but he's played through that pain before. As much of a workload as – I don't know if he's going to get too much because I think Adai can kind of handle this game himself. And I obviously like all the wide receivers in this matchup. I mean, that's where the bread and butter lies, especially Dallas Clark. I think he's going to get a lot of catches, especially with Anthony Gonzalez coming back. You think it might take away some of his looks, but I think it's actually going to help him because they're going to have to focus on another wide receiver out there who is actually very quick. So I think it'll open up Dallas Clark for a lot of looks. But I don't see Donald Brown getting too much carries this week just for the fact that I think they're going to want to take it easy on him with that shoulder.
Excellent. And how about the Miami Jets? You got the Miami at the New York Jets. Sean Green has breakout game last week. I think he went for like $1.41. Is he a guy? I mean, I know everybody likes to get that hot hand. I mean, is he a guy that you might want to use along with Thomas Jones?
Yep, as long as Leon Washington is now out for the season. So that's the guy you're going to want to pick up and play because they don't want to give Thomas Jones, you know, too many carries because he is an aging back. And obviously Sean Green is a rookie, so they got some fresh. Look for him to steal, you know, 25 to 45% of the carry. I wouldn't say 45, sorry, 25 to 30% of the carries, which could be enough for him to have a decent day for you.
Excellent. And how about the Miami side of things? I mean, you got that great running game between Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown. I mean, those seem like legitimate starters. Anybody in the passing game? I mean, would you ever use a Ted Ginn or a Camellia or a David Best? Or would you just stay away from it?
I would stay away from it. They're just too inconsistent, and you're taking a huge gamble every week for them to actually do something. Ted Ginn has seemed like he's been dropping more balls than catching them. So I don't really trust his hands. If I were going to go with anybody in the passing game, it would be Anthony Fasano.
Excellent. And then you have the Oakland Raiders traveling to San Diego. Phillip Rivers seems like a lock every week. I mean, they move the ball. LT, one of his better games of the season last week, something to build on. And obviously Oakland struggles against everything. obviously, must use for everybody in the San Diego game, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, anyone who's playing the Raiders, it doesn't matter how if they do have Nnamdi Asamoah and a nice, you know, pass defense. I mean, it doesn't matter. If their defense is on the field all game long, they're going to tire out and eventually get burned.
And we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans. I mean, you still got the Kerry Collins, Vince Young effect going on. Is Chris Johnson the only safe bet for the Titans this weekend?
It is. Kenny Britt's a stretch, but if you need help at wide receiver, I'd take a look at him.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Kenny Franick, the man of Minnesota, doing some fantasy chat here. Kenny, we've got a question here about Lance Moore or a Lee Evans. Your take on who would you use if you had your option between a Lee Evans and a Lance Moore?
I would take Lee Evans. As I said before, he's kind of the hot hand in Buffalo right now. And he doesn't have, you know, a deep wide receiver core to compete with like Lance Moore does. You got Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham, and Marcus Colson all in the mix. Lance Moore's, you know, unsure how many snaps he's actually going to get every week. You know, and if they run up the score, they could be running the ball a lot against this Atlanta defense. So I would definitely go with Lee Evans. Buffalo seems to be playing behind a lot, which obviously means a lot of opportunities for Lee Evans. So I start him.
Excellent. And you heard it there first, baby. You got the New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, a lot of potential, you know, between Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, Manning Ham, Steve Smith, Manning, McNabb, McCoy, Westbrook, if he's healthy. But my big question is the receivers between, like, a Macklin and DeSean Jackson. Are these becoming legitimate starters every week for a team?
They are. Macklin has slowly moved into the number two spot. He's been putting up some very good numbers, obviously. You know, this past week, he didn't put up stellar numbers, but good enough for a start to warrant a start, especially if you need help at wide receiver because of the bye weeks. And obviously, DeSean Jackson is just a pure playmaker, and he's becoming a must-start regardless of match every single week, because that is clearly Donovan McNabb's deep threat right there. Plus, he returns King Don and fun returns.
Excellent. And Kenny, before we go, anybody on the top of your head that you know, guys that you might want to use, guys that you might not want to use. I mean, anybody that we've been looking at this weekend, you know, just kind of one way or the other, good or bad.
I like Steven Jackson, obviously, because he's at Detroit. I think he might find pay dirt for his first time this season, actually, which is always a great thing to see, especially like me, because I have him on my team. And as I said before, I like Dallas Barkin virtually every wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. People I wouldn't use would be I actually like Chris Johnson, but Jacksonville does boast a good run defense. And also, I don't like Eli Manning under pressure against Philadelphia. And it's on the road, so I would stay away from him as well. And Matt Ryan against that New Orleans defense, stay away from him as well.
Kenny, thanks for coming on this week. I look to touch base next week with you, and good luck. I hope Steven Jackson does hit the pay dirt for you. I mean, obviously, Detroit's a good fit for him to get back on track. And like I said, good luck to you and the Vikings this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. That's Kenny Franek, our man in Minnesota, doing a fantasy talk for you guys. And now we have on the show Cody Slate from Marshall, the Thundering Herd, tight end. Conference USA standout. Cody, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Cody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Obviously, you know, you were a preseason 2009, you know, Conference USA man. You're one of the finer tight ends in the nation. You're on the John Mackey watch list. You know, looking at your game right now, I mean, you got four games left, I believe, you know, in the season. Is it hard to believe that your college career has gone this fast?
Yeah, it's been all a blur going by. And, I mean, it's four games left. It's hard to believe that it's going to be over this quick.
Excellent. And, I mean, looking at you, obviously, it seems like you're more of the pass catcher. I mean, looking at your size and height, your blocking ability, I mean, how do you rate that? I mean, is that something that you feel pretty comfortable with, or you think there's some work to be done there?
Well, I mean, I'm still having to work on that since I got here. That's been a point of emphasis and everything, but, I mean, I'm continuing to improve on that, and, I mean, I think I'm getting all right at it. I can hold my own.
Excellent. And, I mean, looking at the Marshall season, I mean, I think you guys, you know, what, 3-1 conference play. I mean, obviously, right there in the thick of things. I mean, so far, I mean, what's your outtake on the season so far?
I mean, we've been playing good, and some of the games didn't turn out like we wanted them to, but, I mean, we've bounced back and overcome those losses with a win the next week. So, I mean, we're just staying positive and keep having it for extra motivation whenever we lose to come out the next week and reprove ourselves.
Excellent. And, I mean, you got Central Florida. The last couple games at Central Florida have kind of been lopsided in the favor of Central Florida. I mean, you guys have something special. I mean, what's your, you know, are you guys fired up to kind of get some payback?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been here since I've been here, but, I mean, they got a great team and the number one defense in conference. I mean, they're a very good team, and, I mean, we got to be ready to play when we go down there.
Excellent. And, you guys, are you listening to the show right now, Cody?
No.
Okay, I'm getting a lot of static from this side of the show. Doing some expect him to stop noticing you have a pet python. You know, how did that come about, pet python?
Do what now?
I heard you have a pet python.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude, wild python.
And, I mean, is that something you've been, you know, have you had pet snakes and things of, you know, your whole, you know, life growing up, or is that just something that kind of came about during your college years?
I've had a bunch of different animals, but when I was a junior in high school, I got a snake, and it died, and I liked it so much, I just got another one, and I've had one since. So I've had one probably in the past 8 years, 9 years, I've had a snake.
Excellent. I mean, how big do they get?
They get to about 5 or 6 feet. The one I have now is probably about 3.5, 4 feet. So, I mean, it's still growing. I haven't had it but maybe 3 or 4 years, so it's still growing.
Excellent. We're speaking with Cody Slate, Marshall Thundering Herd tight end, John Mackey watch list. And there's a lot of great things to be said about your game, Cody, and how successful you've been. And, I mean, looking ahead, I mean, what are your thoughts after this season? I mean, what's your hopes?
I mean, it was a little dream since I was a little kid to get a chance to play in the NFL. So, I mean, hopefully that can work out. But if not, I mean, I'm getting my degree in December, so I can try to work on my master's, maybe become an athletic director for a high school or something.
Excellent. I mean, and looking at your game, I mean, is there anything that you really think that you excel at that's going to make you stand out when, you know, NFL time comes and the combines and things of that nature?
I think my speed helps me a lot with just mismatches with safeties and linebackers and stuff and just being able to find a way to get open.
Excellent. And looking at your team, I mean, you obviously have some good teammates. Darius, I mean, your thoughts on him?
He's come around this year. I mean, doing a great job helping O-line. O-line's been a great job for him, and he's just making all of us look good when we block.
And Halloween's just kind of a big camp.
So right now my phone keeps breaking up.
It's Halloween coming. That's something you guys have any fun with that?
Yeah, we'll have a little bit of fun, but I mean we go down on Saturday, so that kind of takes that away.
Anything planned on when you guys get back, or is it just kind of a wash for the Halloween weekend?
No, nothing planned yet. I mean, we'll get back late because the game's at 8 Sunday night. We're going to get back to like 2 in the morning, so hopefully we can come back with a victory and be a little more happy on the plane ride back when we're tired.
Excellent. And, not familiar with it. How did that Sunday game come around?
Do what now?
How did the Sunday game, how did that work out that you guys are playing on a Sunday?
I don't know. I think ESPN schedules the games, and they kind of tell us that we're playing on Sundays.
is there anybody that you look at, Cody? I mean, anybody that you've kind of, you know, tried to pattern your game after, or anybody growing up, or anyone, you know, that you've kind of tried to, you know, pattern your game after, you know, at the tight end position?
I like Jason Witten. I think he's a fantastic tight end. I mean, I like watching him. And Jeremy Shockey, I mean, they're both wild guys that are great run tight ends and passing tight ends.
Excellent. And how about your, I mean, college teammates? I mean, is there anybody that you're going to miss after this season? I mean, anybody that you're real close with?
The other tight end, Lee Smith, me and him are best friends on off the field. So, I mean, I'm going to miss him when I leave, but hopefully we'll stay friends the rest of our lives together.
Ha-ha. And, I mean, looking at, I mean, obviously, I mean, you're a senior and it goes quick. What's one of the things that you're going to miss most about college life?
Everybody here loves football here in Huntington. So, I mean, I'm going to miss that a lot. And just them Saturdays here at the stadium and everything, I mean, it's like no other. It's just a blast playing.
Excellent. And, I mean, for you personally, is there anybody on the schedule that you get hyped up for more than anybody else? I mean, is there anybody you like to beat in the Conference USA more than anyone?
ECU is one I like playing against every year because their defense is always so good, and it's always a lot at stake when we play them. So, I mean, it's always a fun game to play that one. But just a big game that I love when we play the BCS schools out of conference. Them are my favorite ones.
Excellent. And, I mean, TCU, I mean, they have had a lot. I mean, their linebacker core from last season was fantastic. Anybody that you kind of really take notice of when you're going up against Conference USA guys on the defensive side of the ball?
I mean, it's a lot of – last year, I don't really know any of the guys' names this year on a lot of teams just because it's new and everything. But, I mean, last year, Central Florida's Joe Burnett, he was a great player. I mean, I hung out with him when we had our media day and all that stuff. So, I mean, he was a cool guy and just a great player and everything.
Excellent. And, I mean, you have over 2,000 yards, you know, in career yards. You have 21 touchdown passes. I mean, you're sixth all-time in catches in Marshall, you know, history. This year you got over 400 yards, 38 catchers. You're the leading receiver. I mean, when you got there, did you have this, you know, was it in your mindset that you had the talent to be this good, or is it just kind of something that you really busted tail and worked hard at that came to you? I mean, when you got the Marshall, did you think you'd end up being this prolific from the tight end position?
I wasn't expecting this. I mean, they told me that I'd come in and make an impact as a freshman at tight end and everything, but I wasn't expecting all that happened. It was just a big surprise to me as it was to anybody else.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Cody Slate, Marshall standout tight end. He's on the John Mackey watch list. And like I said, the people from Marshall think this is the finest tight end in the country, and he has the numbers in the game to back it up. And some of the other winners of the John Mackey Award are Daniel Graham, Kellen Winslow, Jason Witten. So you're in pretty good company. What's it like just to be mentioned on the John Mackey watch list?
I mean, that's the honor to be just mentioned on there and knowing that I'm getting national recognition for myself and for the university.
Excellent. And, Cody, I mean, looking ahead, I mean, I think you're from Florida. I mean, were you a Miami fan, Tampa fan? I mean, who was one of your favorite teams growing up?
I like the Jaguars for a little while, and then they started going down here. But, I mean, I'm going to stay faithful with them and like them.
And, they can always use some tight end help down there. Mercedes Lewis, first-round pick. They're still waiting on him, I think. But, obviously, you have a great year going for you, and we wish you the best. And, obviously, we're going to be paying close attention to see, you know, where you come out on that John Mackey watch list, and we'll try to put some love out there for you as well. And, as always, moving forward, Cody, you're more than welcome to join us. And after the season's over, everything will get crazy. We'll love to, you know, love to follow your path to the draft.
All right, I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Cody.
All right,
that was Cody Slate, Marshall Thundering Herd tight end here on the End Zone on the Fantasy Sports Channel, powered by All Access Football. I wish we could have had a little better sound with him because I really wanted, you know, to get that, better sound, but we had obviously some static there from his phone. But like I said, that was Cody Slate. He's on the John Mackey watch list, one of the finer tight ends you're going to find in college football. And like I said, he's put up great numbers for a team with Marshall. And in school history, he's one of the finest guys they've had at that position. Looking ahead, we have a lot of football this week, college and pro. I think everything with Brett Favre going back to Green Bay, I think that's going to, you know, take over any situation on the football format that, you know, comes to play. And it's going to be interesting. Was in Minnesota or in Pittsburgh last weekend. Got to see the Vikings play live. Talked to Favre afterwards. He admitted, you know, it's going to be a big game. He wasn't going to hide the fact, but, you know, he said he wasn't sure how it was going to be, you know, how his emotions were going to be on that day. But like I said, he's going to want to put it to Ted Thompson, like Kenny Franek said earlier. And like I said, it should be a really good game. And obviously, I mean, the Packers have a lot to prove. You know, they kind of got embarrassed there on Monday night when they played. Hopefully they come up with a better defensive scheme. I mean, if you guys remember watching that game, Brett Favre had more than enough time to pick apart the Green Bay defense as you watched Aaron Kampman in coverage and not rushing a guy like Brett Favre. So, like I said, that, I think, to me, is the big game of the weekend, for Minnesota traveling to Green Bay. And, that's going to be a good game, a big game for Green Bay. And I'm sure the Vikings don't want to lose two straight, two road game losses. teams get hot and then those losses start to pile up and you wonder where it all starts to go wrong. But like I said, Minnesota at Green Bay, to me, that's the game of the week, college or pro. That's going to be a hard one to, want to watch and not, there's a lot, game inside the game there. And other than that, I think the rest of the NFL schedule looks kind of, blah. I think you got Denver at Baltimore. I think Baltimore is trying to right that ship. They've had some struggles. They started out 3-0, and, obviously they've had some games they wish they could have back. But other than that, I think you got the 0-2 Giants, or the Giants, they lost their last two. They're on the road at Philly. Philly, took care of the Washington Redskins. They got back on track, so... like I said, Minnesota at Green Bay, I think Denver at Baltimore, and then I think looking at the Giants. I'm your host, Bo Marchant, here in the end zone on the Fantasy Sports Channel. You guys, thanks for joining us, and look to talk to you guys next Tuesday.